my work, pausing only at lunchtime for a cream cheese and salmon bagel. It's extraordinary how much better I feel once I've eaten something. At 5 o'clock, Sawyer and I set off for the hospital to see Ray. Sawyer is extra vigilant and even over-solicitous. It's irritating. As we approach Ray's room, he hovers over me.
"Shall I get you some tea while you visit with your father?"
he asks. "No thanks, Sawyer. I'll be fine."
"I'll wait outside."
He opens the door for me, and I'm grateful to get away from him for a moment. Ray is sitting up in bed, reading a magazine. He's shaved, wearing a pajama top. He looks like his old self.
"Hey, Annie."
He grins, and his face falls. "Oh, Daddy." I rush to his side, and in a very uncharacteristic move, he opens his arms wide and hugs me.
"Annie? Annie,"
he whispers.
"What is it?"
He holds me tight and kisses my hair. As I'm in his arms, I realize how rare these moments between us have been. Why is that? Is that why I like to crawl into Christian's lap? After a moment, I pull away from him and sit down in the chair beside the bed. Ray's brow is furrowed with concern.
"Tell your old man."
I shake my head. He doesn't need my problems right now. "It's nothing, Dad. You look well." I clasp his hand.
"Feeling more like myself, though this leg in a cast is bitchin'."
"Bitchin'?" His word prompts my smile. He smiles back.
"Bitchin' sounds better than itchin'."
"Oh, Dad, I am so glad you're okay."
"Me too, Annie. I'd like to bounce some grandchildren on this bitchin' knee one day. Wouldn't want to miss that for the world."
I blink at him. Shit, does he know? And I fight the tears that prick the corners of my eyes.
"You and Christian getting along?"
"We had a fight," I whisper, trying to speak past the knot in my throat. "We'll work it out." He nods.
"He's a fine man, your husband,"
Ray says reassuringly. "He has his moments. What did the doctors say?" I don't want to talk about my husband right now. He's a painful topic of conversation. Back at Escala, Christian is not home. "Christian called and said that he'd be working late," Mrs. Jones informs me apologetically. "Oh, thanks for letting me know." Why couldn't he tell me? Geez, he really is taking his sulk to a whole new level. I am briefly reminded of the fight over our wedding vows and the major tantrum he had then. But I'm the aggrieved one here. "What would you like to eat?" Mrs. Jones has a determined, steely glint in her eye. "Pasta." She smiles. "Spaghetti? Penne? Fusilli?" "Spaghetti. Your bolognese." "Coming up. And, Anna? You should know, Mr. Gray was frantic this morning when he thought you'd left. He was beside himself." She smiles fondly. "Oh." He's still not home by 9. I am sitting at my desk in the library, wondering where he is. I call him.
"Anna?"
he says, his voice cool. "Hi." He inhales softly.
"Hi,"
he says, his voice lower. "Are you coming home?"
"Later."
"Are you in the office?"
"Yes. Where did you expect me to be?"
"With her." "I'll let you go." We both hang on the line, the silence stretching and tightening between us.
"Good night, Anna,"
he says eventually. "Good night, Christian." He hangs up. Oh, shit. I gaze at my BlackBerry. I don't know what he expects me to do. I'm not going to let him walk all over me. Yes, he's mad. Fair enough. I'm mad. But we are where we are. I haven't run off loose-lipped to my ex-pedo lover. I want him to acknowledge that that is not an acceptable way to behave. I sit back in my chair, gazing at the billiards table in the library, and recall fun times playing snooker. I place my hand on my belly. Maybe it's just too early. Maybe this is not meant to be. And even as I think that, my subconscious is screaming, no! If I terminate this pregnancy, I will never forgive myself or Christian. Oh, Blip, what have you done to us? I can't face talking to Kate. I can't face talking to anyone. I text her, promising to call soon. By 11, I can no longer keep my eyelids open. Resigned, I head up to my old room. Curling up beneath a duvet, I finally let myself go, sobbing into my pillow, great, heaving, unladylike sobs of grief. My head is heavy when I wake. Crisp fall light shines through the great windows of my room. Glancing at my alarm, I see it's 7:30. My immediate thought is, where's Christian? I sit up and swing my legs out of bed. On the floor beside the bed is Christian's silver-gray tie, my favorite. It wasn't there when I went to bed last night. I pick it up and stare at it, caressing the silky material between my thumbs and forefingers, then hug it against my cheek. He was here, watching me sleep, and a glimmer of hope sparks deep inside me. Mrs. Jones is busy in the kitchen when I arrive downstairs. Good morning, she says brightly. Morning. Christian? I ask. Her face falls. He has already left. So he did come home. I need to check, even though I have his tie as evidence. He did. She pauses. Anna, please forgive me for speaking out of turn, but don't give up on him. He's a stubborn man. I nod, and she stops. I'm sure my expression tells her I do not want to discuss my errant husband right now. When I arrive at work, I check my emails. My heart leaps into overdrive when I see there's one from Christian. From Christian Gray. Subject, Portland. Date, September 15th, 2011. 6:45. To Anastasia Gray. Anna. I am flying down to Portland today. I have some business to conclude with WSU. I thought you would want to know. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Oh, tears prick my eyes. That's it? My stomach flips. Shit, I am going to be sick. I race to the powder room and make it just in time, depositing my breakfast into the toilet. I sink to the floor of the cubicle and put my head in my hands. Could I be any more miserable? After a while, there's a gentle knock on the door. Anna? It's Hannah. Fuck. Yes. Are you okay? I'll be out in a moment. Boyce Fox is here to see you. Shit. Show him into the meeting room. I'll be there in a minute. Do you want some tea? Please. After my lunch, another cream cheese and salmon bagel, which I managed to keep down, I sit staring listlessly at my computer, looking for inspiration and wondering how Christian and I are going to resolve this huge problem. My BlackBerry buzzes, making me jump. I glance at the screen. It's Mia. Jeez, that's all I need, her gushing and enthusiasm. I hesitate, wondering if I could just ignore it. But courtesy wins out. Mia! I answer brightly.
Well, hello there, Anna. Long time no speak.
The male voice is familiar.
Fuck!
My scalp prickles, and all the hair on my body stands to attention as adrenaline floods through my system and my world stops spinning. It's Jack Hyde. Chapter 22.
Jack!
My voice has disappeared, choked by fear. How is he out of jail? Why does he have Mia's phone? The blood drains from my face, and I feel dizzy.
You do remember me,
he says, his tone soft. I sense his bitter smile. Yes, of course. My answer is automatic as my mind races.
You're probably wondering why I called you.
Yes.
Hang up. Don't hang up.
I've been having a chat with your little sister-in-law.
What? Mia? No.
What have you done? I whisper, trying to quell my fear.
Listen here, you prick-teasing, gold-digging whore. You fucked up my life. Gray fucked up my life. You owe me. I have the little bitch with me now. And you, that cocksucker you married, and his whole fucking family are going to pay.
Hyde's contempt and bile shock me. His family? What the hell? What do you want?
I want his money. I really want his fucking money. If things had been different, it could have been me. So you're going to get it for me. I want $5 million today.
Jack, I don't have access to that kind of money. He snorts his derision.
You have 2 hours to get it. That's it. 2 hours. Tell no one or this little bitch gets it. Not the cops, not your prick of a husband, not his security team. I will know if you do. Understand?
He pauses and I try to respond, but panic and fear seal my throat.
You understand?
He shouts.
Yes,
I whisper,
or I will kill her.
I gasp.
Keep your phone with you. Tell no one or I'll fuck her up before I kill her. You have 2 hours.
Jack, I need longer. 3 hours. How do I know that you have her? The line goes dead. I gape in horror at the phone, my mouth parched with fear, leaving the nasty metallic taste of terror.
Mia. He has Mia.
Or does he? My mind whirs at the obscene possibility and my stomach roils again. I think I'm going to be sick. But I inhale deeply, trying to steady my panic, and the nausea passes. My mind rockets through the possibilities. Tell Christian? Tell Taylor? Call the police? How will Jack know? Does he actually have Mia? I need time. Time to think. But I can accomplish that only by following his instructions. I grab my purse and head for the door.
Hannah, I have to go out. I am not sure how long I'll be. Cancel my appointments this afternoon. Let Elizabeth know I have to deal with an emergency.
Sure, Anna. Everything okay? Hannah frowns, concern etched on her face as she watches me flee.
Yes,
I call back distractedly, hurrying toward reception where Sawyer is waiting. Sawyer. He leaps up from the armchair at the sound of my voice and frowns when he sees my face.
I'm not feeling well. Please take me home.
Sure, ma'am. Do you want to wait here while I get the car?
No, I'll come with you. I'm in a hurry to get home.
I gaze out the window in stark terror as I go over my plan. Get home, change, find a checkbook, escape from Ryan and Sawyer somehow, go to bank. Hell, how much room does $5 million take up? What will it weigh? Will I need a suitcase? Should I telephone the bank in advance?
Mia. Mia. What if he doesn't have Mia? How can I check? If I call Grace, it will raise her suspicions and possibly endanger Mia. He said he would know.
I glance out the back window of the SUV. Am I being followed? My heart races as I examine the cars following us. They look innocuous enough.
Oh, Sawyer, drive faster, please.
My eyes flicker to meet his in the rearview mirror, and his brow creases. Sawyer presses a button on his Bluetooth headset to answer a call.
T, I wanted to let you know Mrs. Gray is with me.
Sawyer's eyes meet mine once more before he looks back at the road and continues.
She's unwell. I'm taking her back to Escala. I see. Sir.
Sawyer's eyes flick from the road to mine in the rearview mirror again.
Yes.
He agrees and hangs up. Taylor? I whisper. He nods. He's with Mr. Gray?
Yes, ma'am.
Sawyer's look softens in sympathy. Are they still in Portland?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. I have to keep Christian safe. My hand strays down to my belly and I rub it consciously. And you, little blip. Keep you both safe.
Can we hurry, please? I'm not feeling well.
Yes, ma'am.
Sawyer presses the accelerator and our car glides through the traffic. Mrs. Jones is nowhere to be seen when Sawyer and I arrive at the apartment. Since her car is missing from the garage, I assume she's running errands with Ryan. Sawyer heads for Taylor's office while I bolt to Christian's study. Stumbling in panic around his desk, I wrench open the drawer to find the checkbooks. Layla's gun slides forward into view. I feel an incongruous twinge of annoyance that Christian has not secured this weapon. He knows nothing about guns. Geez, he could get hurt. After a moment's hesitation, I grab the pistol, check to ensure it's loaded, and tuck it into the waistband of my black slacks. I may need it. I swallow hard. I've only ever practiced on targets. I've never fired a gun at anyone. I hope Ray will forgive me. I turn my attention to tracking down the right checkbook. There are five, and only one is in the names of C. Gray and Mrs. A. Gray. I have about $54,000 in my own account. I have no idea how much money is in this one. But Christian must be good for $5 million, surely. Perhaps there's money in the safe? Crap, I have no idea of the number. Didn't he mention the combination was in his filing cabinet? I try the cabinet, but it's locked. Shit. I'll have to stick to plan A. I take a deep breath and, in a more composed but determined manner, stride to our bedroom. The bed has been made, and for a moment, I feel a pang. Perhaps I should have slept here last night. What is the point of arguing with someone who, by their own admission, is 50 shades? He's not even talking to me now. No, I do not have time to think about this. Quickly, I change out of my slacks, pulling on jeans, a hooded sweatshirt, and a pair of sneakers, and put the gun in the waistband of my jeans at my back. From the closet, I fish out a large, soft duffel bag. Will $5 million fit into this? Christian's gym bag is lying there on the floor. I open it, expecting to find it full of dirty laundry. But no, his gym kit is clean and fresh. Mrs. Jones does indeed get everywhere. I dump the contents onto the floor and stuff his gym bag into my duffel. There, that should do it. I check that I have my driver's license as identification for the bank and check the time. It's been 31 minutes since Jack called. Now I just have to get out of Escala without Sawyer seeing me. I make my way slowly and quietly to the foyer, aware of the CCTV camera, which is trained on the elevator. I think Sawyer's still in Taylor's office. Cautiously, I open the foyer door, making as little noise as possible. Shutting it quietly behind me, I stand on the very threshold, up against the door, out of the view of the CCTV lens. I fish my cell phone out of my purse and call Sawyer.
Mrs. Gray.
Sawyer, I'm in the room upstairs. Will you give me a hand with something? I keep my voice low, knowing he's just down the hallway on the other side of this door.
I'll be right with you, ma'am,
he says. And I hear his confusion. I've never telephoned him for help before. My heart is in my throat, pounding in a jarring, frenetic rhythm. Will this work? I hang up and listen as his footsteps cross the hallway and go up the stairs. I take another deep, steadying breath and briefly contemplate the irony of escaping from my own home like a felon. Once Sawyer's reached the upstairs landing, I race to the elevator and punch the call button. The doors slide open with a too loud ping that announces the elevator is ready. I dash inside and frantically stab the button for the basement garage. After an agonizing pause, the doors slowly start to slide shut, and as they do, I hear Sawyer's cries.
Mrs. Gray!
Just as the elevator doors close, I see him skid into the foyer.
Anna!
He shouts in disbelief. But he's too late, and he disappears from view. The elevator sinks smoothly down to the garage level. I have a couple of minutes' start on Sawyer, and I know he'll try to stop me. I glance longingly at my R8 as I rush to the Saab, open the door, toss the duffel bag onto the passenger seat, and slide into the driver's seat. I start the car, and the tires squeal as I race to the entrance, and wait 11 agonizing seconds for the barrier to lift. The instant it's clear, I drive out, catching sight of Sawyer in my rearview mirror as he dashes out of the service elevator into the garage. His bewildered, injured expression haunts me as I turn off the ramp onto 4th Avenue. I let out my long-held breath. I know Sawyer will call Christian or Taylor, but I'll deal with that when I have to. I don't have time to dwell on it now. I squirm uncomfortably in my seat, knowing in my heart of hearts that Sawyer's probably lost his job. Don't dwell. I have to save Mia. I have to get to the bank and collect $5 million. I glance in the rearview mirror, nervously anticipating the sight of the SUV bursting forth from the garage, but as I drive away, there is no sign of Sawyer. The bank is sleek, modern, and understated. There are hushed tones, echoing floors, and pale green etched glass everywhere. I stride to the information desk.
May I help you, ma'am?
The young woman gives me a bright, insincere smile, and for a moment, I regret changing into jeans. I'd like to withdraw a large sum of money. Ms. Insincere Smile arches an even more insincere eyebrow.
You have an account with us?
She fails to hide her sarcasm.
Yes,
I snap. My husband and I have several accounts here. His name is Christian Gray. Her eyes widen fractionally, and insincerity gives way to shock. Her eyes sweep up and down me once more, this time with a combination of disbelief and awe.
This way, ma'am,
she whispers, and leads me to a small, sparsely furnished office walled with more green-etched glass.
Please, take a seat.
She gestures to a black leather chair by a glass desk bearing a state-of-the-art computer and phone.
How much will you be withdrawing today, Mrs. Gray?
She asks pleasantly. $5 million. I look her straight in the eye as if I ask for this amount of cash every day. She blanches.
I see. I'll fetch the manager. Oh, forgive me for asking, but do you have ID?
I do, but I'd like to speak to the manager.
Of course, Mrs. Gray.
She scurries out. I sink into the seat, and a wave of nausea washes over me as the gun presses uncomfortably into the small of my back. Not now. I can't be sick now. I take a deep, cleansing breath, and the wave passes. Nervously, I check my watch. 2:25. A middle-aged man enters the room. He has a receding hairline, but wears a sharp, expensive charcoal suit and matching tie. He holds out his hand.
Mrs. Gray, I'm Troy Whelan.
He smiles, we shake, and he sits down at the desk opposite me.
My colleague tells me you'd like to withdraw a large amount of money.
That's correct. $5 million. He turns to his sleek computer and taps in a few numbers.
We normally ask for some notice for large amounts of money.
He pauses and flashes me a reassuring but supercilious smile.
Fortunately, however, we hold the cash reserve for the entire Pacific Northwest.
He boasts. Geez, is he trying to impress me? Mr. Whelan, I'm in a hurry. What do I need to do? I have my driver's license and our joint account checkbook. Do I just write a check?
First things first, Mrs. Gray. May I see the ID?
He switches from jovial show-off to serious banker. Here, I hand over my license.
Mrs. Gray, this says Anastasia Steele.
Oh, shit. Oh, yes,
I'll call Mr. Gray.
Oh, no, that won't be necessary.
Shit.
I must have something with my married name. I rifle through my purse. What do I have with my name on it? I pull out my wallet, open it, and find a photograph of Christian and me on the bed in Fair Lady's cabin. I can't show him that. I dig out my black Amex. Here.
Mrs. Anastasia Gray.
Whelan reads.
Yes, that should do.
He frowns.
This is highly irregular, Mrs. Gray.
Do you want me to let my husband know that your bank has been less than cooperative? I square my shoulders and give him my most forbidding stare. He pauses, momentarily reassessing me, I think.
You'll need to write a check, Mrs. Gray.
Sure. This account? I show him my checkbook, trying to quell my pounding heart.
That'll be fine. I'll also need you to complete some additional paperwork, if you'll excuse me for a moment.
I nod, and he rises and stalks out of the office. Again, I release my held breath. I had no idea this would be so difficult. Clumsily, I open my checkbook and pull a pen out of my purse. Do I just make it out to cash? I have no idea. With shaking fingers, I write, $5 million. 5000000. Oh, God. I hope I'm doing the right thing. Mia. Think of Mia. I can't tell anyone. Jack's chilling, repugnant words haunt me. Tell no one or I'll fuck her up before I kill her. Mr. Whelan returns, pale-faced and sheepish.
Mrs. Gray, your husband wants to speak with you.
He murmurs and points to the phone on the glass table between us.
What? No. He's on line one. Just press the button. I'll be outside.
He has the grace to look embarrassed. Benedict Arnold has nothing on Whelan. I scowl at him, feeling the blood drain from my face again as he shuffles out of the office.
Shit, shit, shit!
What am I going to say to Christian? He'll know. He'll intervene. He's a danger to his sister. My hand trembles as I reach for the phone. I hold it against my ear, trying to calm my erratic breathing, and press the button for line one. Hi, I murmur, trying in vain to steady my nerves.
You're leaving me?
Christian's words are an agonized, breathless whisper.
What? No!
My voice mirrors his. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. How can he think that? The money? He thinks I'm going because of the money? And in a moment of horrific clarity, I realize the only way I'm going to keep Christian at arm's length, out of harm's way, and to save his sister, is to lie. Yes, I whisper, and searing pain lances through me, tears springing to my eyes. He gasps, almost a sob.
Anna, I...
He chokes.
No. My hand clutches my mouth as I stifle my warring emotions. Christian, please, don't.
I fight back tears.
You're going?
He says. Yes.
But why the cash? Was it always the money?
His tortured voice is barely audible.
No. Tears roll down my face.
No, I whisper.
Is $5 million enough?
Oh, please, stop.
Yes.
And the baby?
His voice is a breathless echo.
What?
My hand moves from my mouth to my belly. I'll take care of the baby, I murmur.
My little blip. Our little blip.
This is what you want?
No.
Yes. He inhales sharply.
Take it all, he hisses.
Christian, I sob. It's for you, for your family. Please, don't.
Take it all, Anastasia.
Christian.
And I nearly cave, nearly tell him about Jack, about Mia, about the ransom.
Just trust me, please, I silently beg him.
I'll always love you.
His voice is hoarse. He hangs up.
Christian! No! I love you too!
And all the stupid shit that we put each other through over the last few days fades into insignificance. I promised I'd never leave him. I am not leaving you. I am saving your sister. I slump into the chair, weeping copiously into my hands. I am interrupted by a timid knock on the door. Whelan enters, though I haven't acknowledged him. He looks everywhere but at me. He's mortified.
You called him, you bastard.
I glare at him.
Your husband has agreed to liquidate $5 million worth of his assets, Mrs. Gray. This is highly irregular, but as our main client, he was insistent. Very insistent.
He pauses and flushes, then frowns at me, and I don't know if it's because Christian is being highly irregular or that Whelan doesn't know how to deal with a weeping woman in his office.
Are you all right?
He asks. Do I look all right? I snap.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Some water?
I nod sullenly. I have just left my husband. Well, Christian thinks I have. My subconscious purses her lips.
Because you told him so?
I'll have my colleague bring you some while I prepare the money. If you could just sign here, ma'am. And make the check out to cash, and sign that, too.
He places a form on the table. I scrawl my signature along the dotted line of the check, then the form. Anastasia Gray. Teardrops fall on the desk, narrowly missing the paperwork.
I'll take those, ma'am. It will take us about half an hour to prepare the money.
I quickly check my watch. Jack said 2 hours. That should take us to 2 hours. I nod to Whelan, and he tiptoes out of the office, leaving me to my misery. A few moments, minutes, hours later, I don't know. Miss Insincere Smile re-enters with a carafe of water and a glass.
Mrs. Gray,
she says softly as she places the glass on the desk and fills it. Thank you. I take the glass and drink gratefully. She exits, leaving me with my jumbled, frightened thoughts. I will fix things with Christian somehow, if it's not too late. At least he's out of the picture. Right now, I have to concentrate on Mia. Suppose Jack is lying. Suppose he doesn't have her. Surely I should call the police. Tell no one or I'll fuck her up before I kill her. I can't. I sit back in the chair, feeling the reassuring presence of Layla's pistol at my waist, digging into my back. Who would have thought I'd ever feel grateful that Layla once pulled a gun on me? Oh, Ray, I'm so glad you taught me how to shoot.
Ray, I gasp. He'll be expecting me to visit this evening.
Perhaps I can simply dump the money with Jack. He can run while I take Mia home. Oh, this sounds absurd. My BlackBerry jumps to life. Your love is king filling the room.
Oh, no. What does Christian want?
To twist the knife in my wounds?
Was it always the money?
Oh, Christian, how could you think that? Anger flares in my gut. Yes, anger. It helps. I send the call to voicemail. I'll deal with my husband later. There's a knock on the door.
Mrs. Gray?
It's Whelan.
The money is ready.
Thank you. I stand up and the room spins momentarily. I clutch the chair.
Mrs. Gray, are you feeling okay?
I nod and give him a back off now, Mr. Stare. I take another deep, calming breath. I have to do this. I have to do this. I must save Mia. I pull the hem of my hooded sweatshirt down, concealing the butt of the pistol in the back of my jeans. Mr. Whelan frowns but holds open the door, and I propel myself forward on shaking limbs. Sawyer is waiting at the entrance, scanning the public area.
Shit!
Our eyes meet, and he frowns at me, gauging my reaction. Oh, he's mad. I hold up my index finger in a with-you-in-a-minute gesture. He nods and answers a call on his cell phone.
Shit! I bet that's Christian.
I turn abruptly, almost colliding with Whelan right behind me, and bolt back into the little office.
Mrs. Gray?
Whelan sounds confused as he follows me back in. Sawyer could blow this whole plan. I gaze up at Whelan. There's someone out there I don't want to see. Someone following me. Whelan's eyes widen.
Do you want me to call the police?
No!
Holy fuck, no. What am I going to do?
I glance at my watch. It's nearly 3:15. Jack will call at any moment.
Think, Anna, think.
Whelan gazes at me in growing desperation and bewilderment. He must think I'm crazy.
You are crazy,
my subconscious snaps. I need to make a call. Could you give me some privacy, please?
Certainly,
Whelan answers, grateful, I think, to leave the room. When he's closed the door, I call Mia's cell phone with trembling fingers.
Well, if it isn't my paycheck.
Jack answers scornfully. I don't have time for this bullshit. I have a problem.
I know. Your security followed you to the bank.
What? How the hell does he know?
You'll have to lose him. I have a car waiting at the back of the bank. Black SUV. A Dodge. You have 3 minutes to get there.
The Dodge? It may take longer than 3 minutes. My heart leaps into my throat once more.
You're bright for a gold-digging whore, Gray. You figure it out, and dump your cell phone once you reach the vehicle. Got it, bitch?
Yes.
Say it, he snaps.
I've got it. He hangs up.
Shit.
I open the door to find Whelan waiting patiently outside. Mr. Whelan, I'll need some help taking the bags to my car. It's parked outside at the back of the bank. Do you have an exit at the rear? He frowns.
We do, yes. For staff.
Can we leave that way? I can avoid the unwelcome attention at the door.
As you wish, Mrs. Gray. I'll have 2 clerks help with the bags and 2 security guards to supervise. If you could follow me?
I have 1 more favor to ask you.
By all means, Mrs. Gray.
2 minutes later, my entourage and I are out on the street, heading over to the Dodge. Its windows are blacked out, and I can't tell who's at the wheel. But as we approach, the driver's door swings open, and a woman clad in black with a black cap pulled low over her face climbs gracefully out of the car.
Elizabeth, from the office. What the hell?
She moves to the rear of the SUV and opens the trunk. The 2 young bank clerks carrying the money sling the heavy bags into the back.
Mrs. Gray.
She has the nerve to smile as if we are off on a friendly jaunt.
Elizabeth?
My greeting is arctic. Nice to see you outside work. Mr. Whelan clears his throat.
Well, it's been an interesting afternoon, Mrs. Gray,
he says, and I am forced to observe the social niceties of shaking his hand and thanking him while my mind reels.
Elizabeth? Why is she mixed up with Jack?
Whelan and his team disappear back into the bank, leaving me alone with the head of personnel at SIP, who's involved in kidnapping, extortion, and very possibly other felonies.
Why?
Elizabeth opens the rear passenger door and ushers me in.
Your phone, Mrs. Gray?
She asks, watching me warily. I hand it to her, and she tosses it into a nearby trash can.
That will throw the dogs off the scent,
she says smugly.
Who is this woman?
Elizabeth slams my door shut and climbs into the driver's seat. I glance anxiously behind me as she pulls out into traffic, going east. Sawyer is nowhere to be seen.
Elizabeth, you have the money. Call Jack. Tell him to let me go.
I think he wants to thank you in person.
Shit!
I glare at her stonily in the rearview mirror. She pales and an anxious scowl mars her otherwise lovely face.
Why are you doing this, Elizabeth? I thought you didn't like Jack.
She glances at me again briefly in the mirror, and I see a fleeting look of pain in her eyes.
Anna, we'll get along just fine if you keep your mouth shut.
But you can't do this. This is so wrong.
Quiet,
she says, but I sense her unease. Does he have some kind of hold on you? I ask. Her eyes shoot to mine, and she slams on the brakes, throwing me forward so hard that I hit my face against the headrest of the front seat.
I said be quiet, she snarls, and I suggest you put on your seatbelt.
And in that moment, I know that he does. Something so awful that she's prepared to do this for him. I wonder briefly what that could be. Theft from the company? Something from her private life? Something sexual? I shudder at the thought. Christian said that none of Jack's PAs would talk. Perhaps it's the same story with all of them.
That's why he wanted to fuck me, too.
Bile rises in my throat with revulsion at the thought. Elizabeth heads away from downtown Seattle and up into the hills to the east. Before long, we're driving through residential streets. I catch sight of one of the street signs, South Irving Street. She takes a sharp left onto a deserted street with a dilapidated children's playground on one side and a large concrete parking lot flanked by a row of squat, empty brick buildings on the other. Elizabeth pulls into the parking lot and stops outside the last of the brick units. She turns to me.
"Showtime," she murmurs.
My scalp prickles as fear and adrenaline course through my body.
"You don't have to do this,"
I whisper back. Her mouth flattens into a grim line, and she climbs out of the car.
"This is for Mia. This is for Mia," I quickly pray. "Please let her be okay. Please let her be okay."
"Get out," Elizabeth snaps, yanking the rear passenger door open.
Shit.
As I clamber out, my legs are shaking so hard I wonder if I can stand. The cool late afternoon breeze carries the scent of the coming fall and the chalky, dusty smell of derelict buildings.
"Well, looky here."
Jack emerges from a small, boarded-up doorway on the left of the building. His hair is short. He's removed his earrings, and he's wearing a suit.
A suit?
He ambles toward me, oozing arrogance and hate. My heart rate spikes.
"Where's Mia?"
I stammer, my mouth so dry I can hardly form the words.
"First things first, bitch,"
Jack sneers, coming to a halt in front of me. I can practically taste his contempt.
"The money?"
Elizabeth is checking the bags in the trunk.
"There's a hell of a lot of cash here,"
she says in awe, zipping and unzipping each bag.
"And her cell?"
"In the trash."
"Good,"
Jack snarls, and from nowhere he lashes out, backhanding me hard across the face. The ferocious, unprovoked blow knocks me to the ground, and my head bounces with a sickening thud off the concrete. Pain explodes in my head. My eyes fill with tears, and my vision blurs as the shock of the impact resonates, unleashing agony that pulses through my skull. I scream a silent cry of suffering and shocked terror.
"Oh, no! Little blip!"
Jack follows through with a swift, vicious kick to my ribs, and my breath is blasted from my lungs by the force of the blow. Scrunching my eyes tightly, I try to fight the nausea and pain, to fight for a precious breath.
"Little blip! Little blip! Oh, my little blip!"
"That's for SIP, you fucking bitch!"
Jack screams. I pull my legs up, huddling into a ball and anticipating the next blow.
"No! No! No!"
"Jack!" Elizabeth screeches.
"Not here. Not in broad daylight, for fuck's sake."
He pauses.
"The bitch deserves it,"
he gloats to Elizabeth, and it gives me one precious second to reach around and pull the gun from the waistband of my jeans. Shakily, I aim at him, squeeze the trigger, and fire. The bullet hits him just above the knee, and he collapses in front of me, crying out in agony, clutching his thigh as his fingers redden with blood.
"Fuck!"
Jack bellows. I turn to face Elizabeth, and she's gaping at me in horror and raising her hands above her head. She blurs. Darkness closes in.
Shit!
She's at the end of a tunnel. Darkness consuming her. Consuming me. From far away, all hell breaks loose. Cars screeching, brakes, doors, shouting, running, footsteps. The gun drops from my hand.
"Anna!"
Christian's voice. Christian's voice. Christian's agonized voice.
"Mia! Save Mia!"
"Anna!"
Darkness. Peace. Chapter 23. There is only pain. My head. My chest. Burning pain. My side, my arm. Pain, pain, and hushed words in the gloom. Where am I? Though I try, I cannot open my eyes. The whispered words become clearer, a beacon in the darkness.
"Her ribs are bruised, Mr. Gray, and she has a hairline fracture to her skull, but her vital signs are stable and strong." "Why is she still unconscious?"
"Mrs. Gray has had a major contusion to her head, but her brain activity is normal,
and she has no cerebral swelling. She'll wake when she's ready. Just give her some time.
And the baby?
The words are anguished, breathless. The baby's fine, Mr. Gray.
Oh, thank God.
The words are a litany, a prayer.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my. He's worried about the baby. The baby? Little Blip. Of course. My little Blip. I try in vain to move my hand to my belly. Nothing moves. Nothing responds.
And the baby? Oh, thank God.
Little Blip is safe.
And the baby? Oh, thank God.
He cares about the baby.
And the baby? Oh, thank God.
He wants the baby. Oh, thank God. I relax, and unconsciousness claims me once more, stealing me away from the pain. Everything is heavy and aching. Limbs, head, eyelids. Nothing will move. My eyes and mouth are resolutely shut, unwilling to open, leaving me blind and mute and aching. As I surface from the fog, consciousness hovers, a seductive siren just out of reach. Sounds become voices.
I'm not leaving her.
Christian, he's here. I will myself to wake. His voice is strained, an agonized whisper.
Christian, you should sleep. No, Dad. I want to be here when she wakes up. I'll sit with her. It's the least I can do after she saved my daughter.
Mia!
How's Mia? She's groggy, scared, and angry. It'll be a few hours before the Rohypnol is completely out of her system. Christ. I know. I'm feeling seven kinds of foolish for relenting on her security. You warned me, but Mia is so stubborn. If it wasn't for Anna here... We all thought Hyde was out of the picture. And my crazy, stupid wife. Why didn't she tell me?
Christian's voice is full of anguish.
Christian, calm down. Anna's a remarkable young woman. She was incredibly brave. Brave and headstrong and stubborn and stupid.
His voice cracks.
Hey,
Carrick murmurs.
Don't be so hard on her or yourself, son. I'd better get back to your mom. It's after 3 in the morning, Christian. You really should try to sleep.
The fog closes in. The fog lifts, but I have no sense of time.
If you don't take her across your knee, I sure as hell will. What the hell was she thinking? Trust me, Ray. I might just do that.
Dad! He's here. I fight the fog. Fight. But I spiral down once more into oblivion. No.
Detective, as you can see, my wife is in no state to answer any of your questions.
Christian is angry.
She's a headstrong young woman, Mr. Gray. I wish she'd killed the fucker. That would have meant more paperwork for me, Mr. Gray. Miss Morgan is singing like the proverbial canary. Hyde's a real twisted son of a bitch. He has a serious grudge against your father and you.
The fog surrounds me once more, and I'm dragged down, down. No!
What do you mean you weren't talking?
It's Grace. She sounds angry. I try to move my head, but I'm met with a resounding, listless silence from my body.
What did you do?
Mom.
Christian, what did you do?
I was so angry.
It's almost a sob. No. Hey. The world dips and blurs, and I'm gone. I hear soft, garbled voices.
You told me you'd cut all ties.
Grace is talking. Her voice is quiet, admonishing.
I know.
Christian sounds resigned.
But seeing her finally put it all in perspective for me, you know, with the child, for the first time I felt what we did, it was wrong.
What she did, darling, children will do that to you, make you look at the world in a different light.
She finally got the message, and so did I. I hurt Anna.
He whispers.
We always hurt the ones we love, darling. You'll have to tell her you're sorry, and mean it, and give her time.
She said she was leaving me.
No, no, no!
Did you believe her?
At first, yes.
Darling, you always believe the worst of everyone, including yourself. You always have. Anna loves you very much, and it's obvious you love her.
She was mad at me.
I'm sure she was. I'm pretty mad at you right now. I think you can only be truly mad at someone you really love.
I thought about it, and she's shown me over and over how much she loves me, to the point of putting her own life in danger.
Yes, she has, darling.
Oh, Mom, why won't she wake up?
His voice cracks.
I nearly lost her.
Christian!
There are muffled sobs.
No. Oh, the darkness closes in. No!
It's taken 24 years for you to let me hold you like this.
I know, Mom. I'm glad we talked.
Me too, darling. I'm always here. I can't believe I'm going to be a grandmother. Grandma!
Sweet oblivion beckons.
His stubble softly scrapes the back of my hand as he squeezes my fingers.
Oh, baby, please come back to me. I'm sorry. Sorry for everything. Just wake up. I miss you. I love you.
I try. I want to see him. But my body disobeys me, and I fall asleep once more. I have a pressing need to pee. I open my eyes. I'm in the clean, sterile environment of a hospital room. It's dark except for a side light, and all is quiet. My head and my chest ache, but more than that, my bladder is bursting. I need to pee. I test my limbs. My right arm smarts, and I notice the IV attached to it on the inside of my elbow. I shut my eyes quickly. Turning my head, I'm pleased that it responds to my will. I open my eyes again. Christian is asleep, sitting beside me and leaning on my bed, with his head on his folded arms. I reach out, grateful once more that my body responds, and run my fingers through his soft hair. He startles awake, raising his head so suddenly that my hand falls weakly back onto the bed.
Hi,
I croak.
Oh, Anna!
His voice is choked and relieved. He grasps my hand, squeezing it tightly and holding it up against his rough, stubbled cheek.
I need to use the bathroom,
I whisper. He gapes, then frowns at me for a moment.
Okay.
I struggle to sit up.
Anna, stay still. I'll call a nurse.
He quickly stands, alarmed, and reaches for a buzzer on the bedside.
Please,
I whisper.
Why do I ache everywhere?
I need to get up.
Geez, I feel so weak.
Will you do as you're told for once?
He snaps, exasperated.
I really need to pee,
I rasp. My throat and mouth are so dry. A nurse bustles into the room. She must be in her 50s, though her hair is jet black. She wears over-large pearl earrings.
Mrs. Gray, welcome back. I'll let Dr. Bartley know you're awake.
She makes her way to my bedside.
My name is Nora. Do you know where you are?
Yes. Hospital. I need to pee.
You have a catheter.
What?
Oh, this is gross. I glance anxiously at Christian, then back to the nurse.
Please, I want to get up.
Mrs. Gray?
Please.
Anna?
Christian warns. I struggle to sit up once more.
Let me remove your catheter.
Mr. Gray,
I am sure Mrs. Gray would like some privacy.
She looks pointedly at Christian, dismissing him.
I'm not going anywhere.
He glares back at her.
Christian, please,
I whisper, reaching out and grasping his hand. Briefly, he squeezes my hand, then gives me an exasperated look.
Please,
I beg.
Fine,
he snaps, and runs his hand through his hair.
You have 2 minutes,
he hisses at the nurse, and he leans down and kisses my forehead before turning on his heel and leaving the room. Christian bursts back into the room 2 minutes later as Nurse Nora is helping me out of bed. I'm dressed in a thin hospital gown. I don't remember being stripped.
Let me take her,
he says and strides toward us.
Mr. Gray, I can manage.
Nurse Nora scolds him. He gives her a hostile glare.
Damn it, she's my wife. I'll take her,
he says through gritted teeth as he moves the IV stand out of his way.
Mr. Gray,
she protests. He ignores her, leans down, and gently lifts me off the bed. I wrap my arms around his neck, my body complaining. Jeez, I ache everywhere. He carries me to the ensuite bathroom while Nurse Nora follows us, pushing the IV stand.
Mrs. Gray, you're too light,
he mutters disapprovingly as he sets me gently on my feet. I sway. My legs feel like jello. Christian flips the light switch and I'm momentarily blinded by the fluorescent lamp that pings and flickers to life.
Sit before you fall,
he snaps, still holding me. Tentatively, I sit down on the toilet.
Go!
I try to wave him out.
No, just pee, Anna.
Could this be any more embarrassing?
I can't! Not with you here!
You might fall.
Mr. Gray!
We both ignore the nurse.
Please,
I beg. He raises his hands in defeat.
I'll stand outside. Door open.
He takes a couple of paces back until he's standing just outside the door with the angry nurse.
Turn around, please,
I ask. Why do I feel so ridiculously shy with this man? He rolls his eyes but complies, and when his back is turned, I let go and savor the relief. I take stock of my injuries. My head hurts, my chest aches where Jack kicked me, and my side throbs where he pushed me to the ground. Plus, I'm thirsty and hungry. Jeez, really hungry. I finish up, thankful that I don't have to get up to wash my hands as the sink is close. I just don't have the strength to stand.
I'm done,
I call, drying my hands on the towel. Christian turns and comes back in, and before I know it, I'm in his arms again. I have missed these arms. He pauses and buries his nose in my hair.
Oh, I've missed you, Mrs. Gray,
he whispers, and with Nurse Nora fussing behind him, he lays me back on the bed and releases me, reluctantly, I think.
If you've quite finished, Mr. Gray,
I'd like to check over Mrs. Gray now.
Nurse Nora is mad. He stands back.
She's all yours,
he says in a more measured tone. She huffs at him and then turns her attention back to me. Exasperating, isn't he?
How do you feel?
She asks me, her voice laced with sympathy and a trace of irritation, which I suspect is for Christian's benefit.
Sore and thirsty, very thirsty,
I whisper.
I'll fetch you some water once I've checked your vitals and Dr. Bartley has examined you.
She reaches for a blood pressure cuff and wraps it around my upper arm. I glance anxiously up at Christian. He looks dreadful, haunted even, as if he hasn't slept for days. His hair is a mess, he hasn't shaved for a long time, and his shirt is badly wrinkled. I frown.
How are you feeling?
Ignoring the nurse, he sits down on the bed out of arm's reach.
Confused, achy, hungry.
Hungry?
He blinks in surprise. I nod.
What do you want to eat?
Anything. Soup?
Mr. Gray, you'll need the doctor's approval before Mrs. Gray can eat.
He gazes at her impassively for a moment, then takes his BlackBerry out of his pants pocket and presses a number.
Anna wants chicken soup.